Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Greg. I'm Jim Galante in with Greg Pickle. And this is where we have Greg answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions. If you want to submit a question, you could download our app from the App Store. It's Keystone Sports. Or you could email us at info@ksnsports.net mentioning our app. There's a new button on it. It says free RV for the Ball State game. That's right. Go PSU RV. They are really celebrating the fact that we're going to be back for football this fall. You have an opportunity. We're having a raffle for a free weekend at gopsurv.com. If you're more interested in finding out about everything going on there, you could also call Mark at 800-519-8467. And to register for the free RV, just go to the app and press the free RV button. All right, Greg, you ready to answer questions?
I am ready. Let's do it.
Okay, let's start with Aaron in Houston, who says, in your opinion, what are the two to three things that need to happen for the 2022 recruiting class to be considered a success?
Well, I think that it starts with two of the guys we talked about in the last cycle, Denny Sutton and Nick Singleton, defensive end and running back, respectively, if you missed that part of the show. I think those two guys have to be in this class. Singleton, because not only is he extremely talented and possibly could go to one of your biggest competitors if he doesn't go to Penn State, but also because when I look at him and the past PA recruiting situation at Penn State, it hasn't always been great, but it's pretty darn good in this class, and you want to put an exclamation mark on top of it with him. So, and then with Dennis Sutton, he's your top target in the defensive side of the ball and has been for a long time. So I think you need to close the deal there, get him on board, and, you know, if you're Penn State, you've pushed and did almost everything you can to make that happen, and now you have to keep pushing to make it a reality. So I think those two are where you start, and then, you know, obviously this group should be top 10 at worst when all is said and done, and could be top 5. So that would obviously be a part of the conversation too.
I think I agree completely with you, Greg. With those two players, you know, they've got their wide receivers, they got two quarterbacks. As we talked about earlier in the show, they seem to be great as far in great position as far as defensive backs go. If they could get that stud defensive end and the stud running back, that would really be the exclamation point on this recruiting class. Speaking of recruiting at running back, our good friend Dominic from Cranberry Township says, there seems to be an abundance of good running backs in this class. With five or more having Penn State in their top five or higher, could you see Penn State actually taking three running backs in this cycle?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jim. I don't think so. I mean, I look at it like this. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but I do feel like that once you hit the point where two commit to you, I just feel like whoever the third guy, Jim, is going to look at this room that's already there, the young guys that are already on campus, plus you're adding two studs to it, and the guy who's going to be would be the third back's a stud too, and he's going to say, eh, I can probably go somewhere else and get on the field faster, or maybe not find as cluttered of an incoming class to come in with. So I don't think that's a reality. You know, I just think that whoever doesn't make the commitments first, if they do end up getting two, I think whatever's left after that will probably in all likelihood end up going somewhere else. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. If Penn State gets on a roll and they want to take three, they could, but I just think two is the number they end up with there.
Yeah, I agree with you on this one too, Greg. With three, there's only one running back typically playing at a time, and I understand they rotate them. In the last couple of years, Penn State has had to deal with that, rotating four guys or three guys. But to get three of them in one class, that would be tough. And it may even preclude them the following year. It may limit them as to how many running backs that they could get. So I think two is the right number for this year. Let's keep the questions coming. And let's go with Mike in Bradenton, Florida. Mike says, Do commitments at a position force the uncommitted player's timeline? For example, running back. I love the show and appreciate the knowledge of recruiting. Keeps me tethered to Penn State here in Southern Florida. And I think the point he's making there is, you know, if Penn State's looking at two running backs and there's potentially five of them out there looking at Penn State, if one commits, it sure puts pressure on the others, doesn't it?
Yeah, Greg? I mean, and that's why a lot of the times, Jim, you see these commitments happen in quick spurts. A guy will commit, and then all of a sudden, two more guys at that same position or on that side of the ball will commit. And it's because everyone knows it's a numbers game, and it's a numbers game now maybe more than it ever has been, because when you break it down, now that everyone has a free year of eligibility from the NCAA because of the pandemic, you have the transfer portal that's going to take scholarships away. I mean, there's a numbers crunch, and everyone can see it. You know, there's access to all of this information. You can see how many scholarship players are on a roster. You can see how many guys are in a position to commit to a school and how many players they'll have in this class and that class and so on and so forth. So everything's widely available and accessible. So I do think that that's why you see these things happen kind of in rapid succession. One guy pulls the trigger, and it definitely puts pressure on other guys to make a decision. Now, look, there's guys like Deny Dennis Sutton and Nick Singleton, who I don't know if it's necessarily they're going to get pushed by anyone. That's probably not going to be the case. But guys a little bit further down the board at their positions, maybe. So it just depends who you are and what your setup is. So it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, that happens absolutely.
You bring up a great point there, Greg, and I want to ask a follow-up on that. Let's say Nick Singleton is the guy that Penn State really wants. He's their number one target at running back. But let's say one of the other running backs makes their commitment, and you still have three or four other offers out there to other running backs. How does Penn State finesse that if Nick Singleton's really the guy they want, and he's in a position where you don't put a gun to the head of that guy who's so highly regarded because he has some other great option? How does a university finesse that situation?
It's not easy. I mean, because you don't want to disenfranchise, I guess is the word, or disenchant a guy who, you know, if Nick Singleton would then come back 3 weeks later and say, going to Ohio State or I'm going to Alabama, then you might want to turn around and get some guy who might have wanted to commit prior to that. So, yeah, that's the tough thing. And that's where it's about honesty and it's about trust. And you tell guys, look, here's our board. Here's why it's like that. You remember there was a time when current players on the roster, Jim, would tell us that, you know, that coaches have them. I think it was Stubblefield that might have started this. I can't remember. I think it was Stubblefield, though, or maybe it was John Scott Jr., but ranked themselves, and Terry Smith talked about that, too, in the room. You know, put the depth chart together. Tell us where you're at, where you think you're at, and where you would start, and then we'll sit here and discuss why that maybe is it's exactly in line with the coach's depth chart, or maybe a player doesn't realize, has a depth chart where maybe he's higher up it or someone's higher up it than the coaches think, and they sit there and discuss that, and there's just transparency and there's honesty. And so I think the same thing happens in recruiting. You know the way the board is set up, and you know the way that, that Penn State is recruiting guys. And like I said, all the info's out there. So it's not like maybe it used to be where, I don't want to say there were secrets, but certainly it was not as easy to log onto the internet, a number of years ago and get a whole bunch of information as it is now. So I would just say that for Penn State, you try to do the best you can by being honest. And if a kid gets upset, then, you know, sometimes that just happens.
The honesty thing, huh? It's a crazy concept, but it just might work, Greg. It just might work.
Well, it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for a lot of guys who can at least appreciate the fact that you're being straight with them, even if it's maybe not what they want to hear. So that can help keep you in a commitment, even if you're not ready to make a decision.
And I believe there's also a lot of schools out there who are, I'll use the word deceptive with the recruits, maybe telling them what they want to hear. So you probably stand out from the crowd a little bit if you are that straight shooter and you explain, here's how it works. I would imagine you'd even have a conversation with some of the other running backs saying, look, first one that commits, we'll take it, but we're not going to take a second running back commit until we hear from Nick Singleton because he's our number one guy. you know, is that the kind of honest conversation some of these other running backs might hear?
Yeah, and I think the thing you keep, you know, that's good to remember is that these guys, most of them know this stuff, right? So they're aware of what's going on. They're aware of what's happening. It's not a stunning situation or anything. So that helps as well, yes.
Okay, let's move on to Tom in Tunkhannock. And he says, most places are listing Vandenberg as defensive tackle. He's that recent junior college commit from Iowa, by the way. But his huddle from this spring mostly showed him at defensive end. Where does it look like he'll play to start, Greg?
Well, I think we'll know a little bit more about that in about a week's time once he actually gets to campus and gets sized up by the staff and everything. I mean, to me, I think he's a defensive lineman all the way. But the fact that he's versatile, I think, is something Penn State really liked and really appreciated. And that's why they went after him, because they knew that he was a guy who could do a little bit of both. So, you know, we'll see here in a couple of weeks where things kind of stack up. But to me, I think that he's probably a defensive lineman through and through. And that's where he'll start his Penn State career.
But he asked defensive tackle versus defensive end.
Sorry, yeah. So, I mean, I think that defensive end's probably where he ends up as opposed to defensive tackle. But I do think, again, to that point, you know, I think linebacker should be a part of that question, because I don't think it's out of the question, Jim, that he could get some time there. And he is, what, I think they have him listed at 6'2", 6'3", like 270 pounds. So the other question is how quick can he put weight on? And remember, he's a 5-to-play-4 guy, so he has time to redshirt and get his body right. It's not like he has to rush into getting onto the field. Just because he's a transfer doesn't mean he has to be ready to play immediately.
Okay, Greg, we are going to have to name our winner in segment in a real quick review for you. Aaron from Houston, he wanted to know the two or three things they need to be call 2022 recruiting successful. Dominic, he asked about the running backs and could they possibly bring in three of them. Mike from Bradenton wanted to know if commitments at a position force the uncommitted player's timeline. And finally, Tom was asking about Vandenberg and whether he was going to be looked at as a defensive tackle or a defensive end. Which way do you want to go?
Yeah, let's go with the second to last one about forcing the timeline based on how commitments shake out, because I do think that we're going to see that happen a lot here over the next month.
That will definitely be the case. So that means, Mike from Bradenton, you are our winner. I will be reaching out to you and getting your barbecue package together for you. Stick around. In quarter number 4, we have a real interesting new segment for you. It's Coach Nick Caduti. He does these great videos, scouting reports, and he's going to tell us all about Mike Yurcich's offense. You want to stick around for that. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Monday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in 4 Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.